Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, September the 2nd. Hope you're okay. One of our most read stories on the site today is that a drop in footfall is being blamed for the closure of two more businesses in Ashford. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us about the companies then and what their owners have said?
Yes, so they're a florist and a laundrette, which are both based in the town centre. As well as declining footfall, they also say rising costs are behind the decision to shut. The laundrette, which is just off Bank Street, has been operating for almost 20 years. But manager Ellie Robinson says footfall was bad and there have been road closures nearby which have also caused a problem. The florist, which is called Petals Perfections, only started trading a year ago in new rents. Again, boss Kyle Leacock described the situation as very hard.
And they're not the first businesses to close, Lucy.
No, in recent weeks we've also seen By the Tank Cafe and Craving House decide to shut their doors, while sandwich shop The Tucked Away Takeaway has also confirmed it will be going when the owner retires. We've had a response from the Central Ashford Community Forum, who say it's a real shame, but they're hoping it's a bad period of time for the town and things will improve.
So what have the council had to say?
Well, they claim that footfall is actually higher than the same time last year. According to their figures, 2.3 million visits were recorded near the bandstand between January 1st and August 24th this year. That's up 2% on 2025. A spokesperson has also said they remain committed to supporting businesses and reducing the vacancy rate. One new arrival is coffee franchise Jamaica Blue, which is going to be opening in County Square this month.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. You can also read that report from reporter Joe Harbert today by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you now. And a person's been taken to hospital with burns after a shed caught alight in Margate. The fire spread to fencing and neighbouring properties in Brook Avenue just before 8 this morning. Four other people have been checked over at the scene by paramedics. The cause of the blaze is not yet known. A property in Swanscombe linked to antisocial behaviour is going to stay boarded up for another 3 months. It's been an offence since May for anyone to go into the property in Keary Road following reports of suspected drug taking. Magistrates have now agreed the house can remain out of bounds as the local council look to take possession of it. Next, and the founder of a community shop in Chatham has told us there's been huge demand for their uniform bank as children across Kent go back to school. Thrift and Thrive is running a free swap shop at two sites on the High Street to help families who are struggling to make ends meet. Well, Lucy's been chatting to founder Tracy Errington.
We're a very new community initiative. We're not yet a charity. We're waiting on our charity application to be approved. But we are basically, we support the community through reducing waste. What we want to do is we want to try and get people thinking a little bit more creatively about the waste that we produce, how we can reuse it, how we can help the environment, and how, you know, in turn we can help save them pennies.
And tell me a bit about the uniform bank and how that came to be set up.
So we're quite proud of the uniform bank. It's not a normal uniform bank, school uniform bank. It's a swap shop. So basically it works. So if any children grow out of what they don't, you know, they don't need, they come back, they swap it for something that the children do need. So it's very much, again, it's very sustainable. It's a sustainable way of moving items on and keeping them going for as long as we can. But it's also really good for the parents because it's, you know, it's school uniform can be very, very expensive. So we've got two school uniform banks. So we have two sites at the moment, both in Chatham. One is at 125 to 127 High Street, and the other one is at 1 to 19 High Street. So it's really, really important for us to be able to reach as many people as we can. So that's why we've got the two banks.
That's fantastic. And obviously, as you mentioned, great for the environment, but also great for saving money because, you know, kids grow very quickly, don't they? They might grow out of something, but it's still good for someone else to use.
Well, I think this is a general misconception. You know, people think that the parents have got to buy for the beginning of the term and it will last the whole year. Well, of course, that doesn't happen. You know, they grow. Children do grow, unfortunately. You know, they run out of T-shirts and all the standard stuff that they need. So it isn't just about having the money for the start of the new year. You know, they're looking at trying to sustain themselves for the whole year. So that's why we think the swap shop is really, really important, because that way you can come down, you can, you know, you can reuse that uniform. A lot of the time, the uniform's in very, very good condition. They're just not in it long enough. So that's why we think it's such a good idea.
And we hear a lot about the pressure families are facing. You know, the cost of living crisis has been going on for quite a few years now. Is that something you see from the people who are coming in to Thrift and Thrive?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons why we started Thrift and Thrive is, you know, it is really for that layer of people. And there's a lot of us that are working really hard. You know, they've in some cases 2-3 jobs, but it's still really hard to make ends meet. And I think for us, it was that level of people that we felt they don't get the support that they need. They don't get the benefits. We need to be able to do something to step in and help those people that do need that. They just need that little bit of extra help.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an expensive time of year as well, you know, back to school. Is that something you hear a lot of parents saying, you know, oh, we've got to fork out for this and that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it never ends, does it? Let's be honest. I mean, prices are going up, wages don't seem to be going up. You know, it just never ends. I mean, we've given just within the 6 months, isn't it, school holidays, we've given over 600 items of school clothing away during that 6-week period, so you know, it's needed.
And do you think more places like your shops are needed elsewhere in Kent as well? I mean, you know, Medway's perhaps seen as more of a deprived area, but these kind of families who are struggling are everywhere, aren't they?
Well, I think this is it. They, you know, they are struggling. I mean, we concentrate, you know, there's an awful lot of services out there that deal with people that are homeless and that are vulnerable, and they do need the help. But I think there's a huge amount of people that, you know, are still struggling to survive. They're doing what they can, but it's just so difficult out there. So we've obviously, our shop is an alternative high street experience. And really that's about getting people together, giving them a home to come and learn how to upcycle. It saves a lot of wastage. It also builds confidence, it builds skills, it builds that support network. So I think, you know, let's see how we get on, but I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more alternative high street experiences popping up all over the place, really.
Staying with education news, and building work has started on a new SEN secondary school in Medway. Inspire Academy, which is part of the Rivermead Inclusive Trust, submitted plans in February 2024, and it should all be finished by 2028. The school on Cornwallis Avenue in Gillingham will have room for 160 pupils. And a Medway school that's been only for girls since 1913 is welcoming boys for the first time. Chatham Grammar, which is part of the University of Kent Academies Trust, is becoming co-educational. Year 7 boys will be joining today after the summer break.
Kent Online reports.
And investigations underway after a tipper van was stolen in Sevenoaks. It's understood the suspects took the Ford Transit vehicle from South Park before travelling to St John's Hill and then on to Otford. Police are keen to hear from anyone with private CCTV or dash cam footage. Bosses in Swale have U-turned on a controversial decision which stopped taxi drivers displaying poppies and Lest We Forget stickers on their vehicles. You might recall we mentioned this in a previous episode of the podcast, because the boss of iCars had been ordered to remove remembrance emblems because of a licensing policy. Well, councillors faced a huge backlash and have now voted to change the rules. Dogs could be banned from a beach in Kent as part of efforts to protect wading birds in the area. Thanet Council's launched a consultation on its dog control rules along the area's coastline. New restrictions could be introduced at Birchington for the next 3 years after experts found animals were causing significant harm to bird populations. Now, a plaque is being unveiled today in memory of a Kent firefighter who died while responding to an emergency more than 50 years ago. Malcolm Farrow was killed when the engine he was travelling in crashed on College Road in Maidstone in 1970. The 26-year-old will be remembered during a ceremony at the town's fire station. Tony Bush is now 81 and is the only surviving member of that 8-man crew involved in the tragedy.
I'll never forget this day, 2nd September 1970. It really come home to me, accidents. And I just like to think about my ex-colleagues who are no longer with us, especially Malcolm Farrow, who died of horrific burns, who died 4 days later after the incident. And that is why I'm proposing I wanted a red plaque in honour of firemen who lost their lives in the line of duty. And it's taken me 8 to 9 years to get this, but eventually got there in the end, and it's happening this year, 2026. So great, I'm chuffed as anything that I've done it.
Kent Online reports.
A former train driver who worked for Southeastern tried to claim he was forced out of his job even though he voluntarily retired. A hearing's been told Keith Waterfield was managed by bosses based at the Gillingham depot and failed an eyesight check after returning to work following 9 months off sick. The 68-year-old was given a non-driving role and later resigned after fearing he would be dismissed. He later took the company to an employment tribunal, but a judge found against him and dismissed the claim. Now, a TV medic has become an ambassador for the Air Ambulance charity serving Kent. Dr. Hilary Jones has spent a day with the crew to see how they deliver life-saving critical care and has been speaking to the podcast.
I live in Kent, and to be asked to become ambassador for the Kent and Surrey Sussex Ambulance Service was just immensely flattering and something I certainly couldn't refuse. I want to help them all I can. The work they do is outstanding. I mean, they respond to over 3,100 incidents that they did last year. And they on average have about 9 call-outs a day. And literally, they save lives. They can bring emergency care to critical care to the roadside and perform the most wonderful work when they have to, for things like road accidents, people having strokes, heart attacks, you name it, they can deal with it. And they do it so fast and so brilliantly that it was a no-brainer to accept the offer of becoming ambassador.
Having spoken to some of the crew before, I mean, it still amazes me what they can do literally by a roadside. And I know you've spent some time with the guys as well. Have they told you a bit more about some of the procedures they can do? I mean, as a medic, that must blow your mind as well. I mean, it amazes me. Does it amaze you too?
Well, it is one of the most exciting careers I think anybody could ever possibly have. I've flown with the Air Ambulance Service in London on a couple of call-outs. I flew with the Flying Doctor Service in Australia a couple of times and in Lesotho. So I've seen firsthand what they can achieve, and literally they save lives. I've spoken to patients of theirs who've recovered when they wouldn't otherwise have recovered without the service of the air ambulance. And literally, they don't just save lives, they change lives.
Absolutely. Tell me a bit more about your visit to the training base. What was that like? You spent a whole day there, did you?
Yeah, they've got a simulator there with these sort of mannequins, which are very lifelike. They're not just the ordinary CPR mannequins that you often see for first aid courses, but, you know, you have all the blood vessels exposed. You can expose the chest. You can teach people to do these emergency procedures really well in the simulator, which the inside of which looks like an air ambulance with all the equipment. And the amount of equipment they can pack into such a small space. It's just incredible. It's so efficient. It all has to be, every time the helicopter flies, all of that stock has to be renewed and regenerated. And it's such a slick operation that it blows my mind every time.
You mentioned about the charitable donations, because, of course, this is a charity and it relies on people's goodwill to keep it funded. And, I mean, people in Kent are always they raise so much money. I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it, really, how much they raise. Have you heard about the fundraising and some of the things that people are doing? And I know we've got the heli hike coming up, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, it's not just keeping the helicopters in the air, it's training people, not just the pilots and the paramedics and the doctors, the surgeons and the nurses, but it's about sort of training youngsters to do CPR, to educate and to increase knowledge across the board everywhere. So it's fantastic. So including youngsters in their journey through life to look after one's body and look after other people, I think is fantastic. And, you know, I wanted all I can to support the service. Whenever you see the helicopter landing, you know, and you see the reaction of people, the crowd that are looking on, it is more dramatic than anything you'll ever see on Casualty or Holby City or Emergency Room. You know, it is real living drama conducted every single day.
And you can find out more about the work of the Air Ambulance and how to donate at aakss.org.uk. Bit more health news, and ahead of winter, flu vaccines are being made available to children and pregnant women in Kent. 2 and 3-year-olds, along with school-age youngsters, will be eligible for a nasal spray, while mums-to-be can have a jab. And for the first time, anyone over 16 who's sleeping rough or staying in a homeless hostel will be able to get the vaccine for free. And it looks like plans to introduce charges at car parks near Dover that are currently free will be scrapped. The council had considered introducing fees at the sites, including the street in Ash, East Street and Wingham High Streets and Reach Road in St Margaret's. It's now found the cost of bringing in the charge would outweigh potential income streams.
Kent Online Sport.
Starting off with football, and it was a point for Gillingham on the road in League Two last night, and they completed 2 signings on transfer deadline day. Let's start with the match then, which finished 1-1 at Chesterfield. It means the Gills are still without a win this season. Let's hear from manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Really proud, first of all, on the result, you know, coming to Chesterfield, joint favourites for the league at the start of the season. Taking a point home, really good. First half, absolutely nowhere near, you know. We weren't close to people, we didn't get tight. Players were doing what they wanted with the ball at Chesterfield. It was like, it was almost like, yeah, it was a defensive phase almost, you know. And at half time, we had to give them a right blast to say, right, where is that? Where is Saturday and the Saturday before? Where is that intensity? Where, when a Chesterfield player receives that ball, he cannot have time on the ball. We have to be there as he arrives. And I think Andy Smith put the first tackle in the second half, and it was like, right, here we are. We are not going to sit down and we are not going to take this. And you know, the endeavour got us the goal. We had a little bit of luck, you know, Ronan Hill deflection, but we needed a bit of luck. I've had so much bad luck with the injuries I've had, you know, to my captain, to my last year's captain and Kadeem Harris, the star sign. And, you know, it's been tough. It really has been tough. We're trying to bring people in this last day, the window, and that's been hard as well. All afternoon we've been juggling players and phone calls and everything. So for the boys to produce that second half, I was really proud. And you know what, to stand up to a deluge, really, you know, of crosses and attacking play, and then we almost could have gone and won it and couldn't have nicked it, you know. And it would have been a nick, you know, I'm not saying, because Paul Cook's side were very good first half, but we let them be good. It wasn't them being brilliant, we let them. Second half, that's us, that's more like it. And yeah, really proud. Some of the youngsters really doing well. Thank you, fans. Magnificent again. And let's go again on Saturday.
On to the new signings, and 21-year-old Zek Obiero is coming to Priestfield from Leighton Orient on a season-long loan, while Eli King, who's 23, is joining on a permanent deal from Cardiff City. He was able to watch the game last night and spoke to the club's media team.
Yeah, really excited. A bit of a whirlwind today. Deadline day always is, but yeah, travelled up just to come here to Chesterfield, get everything done and watch the game as well. Good draw.
You've had a busy day then?
Very busy day, yeah. Started early, trained this morning, got wind that something might happen, and then, yeah, straight in my car, straight to Chesterfield, 4-hour drive.
And in cricket, Kent welcome Worcestershire to Canterbury for their latest game in the county championship. It follows a draw against Northamptonshire last time out. Kent are currently second in the Division 2 table. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.